Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
John Landecker at 720 WGN, and there are some stars to wonder about and to help us sort our way through the cosmos, as it were. Welcoming back to the program, Michelle Nichols, Director of Public Observing at the Adler Planetarium. Good evening, Michelle. Thank you so much for taking time out of your night and joining us here.
Oh, good evening, and thank you for having me.
Sure. Now, from what I understand, today's the 20th. Tomorrow through the, well, then for the next two nights, I read that the what's happening now would be at its peak. Is that correct?
So what's happening is the annual Lyrid meteor shower. That's spelled L-Y-R-I-D. It's named for the constellation Lyra, the harp. Basically, every year, Earth runs into the trail of debris left by a particular comet. And this one, this particular trail causes the Lyrid meteor shower. So it's one of those medium-strength showers, not one of the big ones. But it's reliable. It's pretty predictable. So, it'll peak. The main peak will be the 21st into the morning of the 22nd.
Gotcha. And we would obviously need to be somewhere where the skies were clear and there wasn't, your view wasn't infringed by a lot of lights from the city.
Right. Exactly. The darker, the sky, the better.
You bet. That's what I always say. I'm sorry. That sky, it's not dark enough. Now, I was reading about this and... it says that this meteor shower has been observed for 2,700 years ago. The Chinese wrote about it.
Isn't that amazing?
How is that possible?
Basically, if the comet keeps orbiting the sun and we consistently run into the trail of stuff left by the comet in the solar system, as long as that comet keeps leaving stuff behind, comets are notoriously messy, and as long as they leave stuff behind and we keep running into it, you will continue to get a meteor shower. And some meteor showers are newer than others. I mean, there's some that we've only known about for a few decades, and some that, like this one, that as you read, we've known about it for a long time. So it's pretty neat.
Okay, so just for using the imagination, theater of the mindless, it's 2,700 years ago, and I'm in China, and somehow I record this, and it hangs around what I'm putting down on paper or whatever they were writing on has been referenced for 2,700 years.
Isn't it amazing that we've got astronomical records that can go back that far or even farther? Somebody not only thought that this was a momentous enough occurrence to write it down, somebody thought to keep referring to that record or save that record. And it's pretty neat. And how cool is it that you can go outside in a dark sky and look up and see the same phenomenon that you can connect with that person 2,700 years ago?
Oh, I just got a chill.
And one thing I want to make sure everybody understands is how you go out and observe a meteor shower. And the great thing is, no telescope, no binoculars, just you, your eyeballs, and the sky. You want to go outside, preferably after midnight on the 22nd, and even more preferably like 3-4 o'clock in the morning. Go outside, face east, look up. That's it. That's all you have to do. If when you go out, the moon is still out, you want to put the moon to your back, or put the moon maybe behind a building or something like that. Block the light from the moon,
block
and that'll
light,
help
yeah.
you out. But it'll set like 3-4 o'clock, something like that. But you and the meteors will appear to radiate outward from the constellation Lyra. And so that's where it gets the name. And that'll be pretty high up in the sky, like 3-4 o'clock in the morning. So that'll be a great time to go out.
Okay, so I go out, just to make sure I got this right, because I think I'm going to do it. I go out about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I face east. If the moon is still out, I somehow put it behind me or eliminate it from my gaze so that it doesn't infringe on me seeing the meteors, right?
And you want to, you want to look for quick streaks of light in the sky. Meteors don't linger for hours and hours. They're really quick streaks. And you'll see them. You'll see them all over the sky if you traced, if you mapped out where they were all coming from, and you put that on a map, and you trace the lines all back to that point in the sky. They would all trace back to Lyra the Harp. And so, if you're not sure if it's Lyra the Harp, just look for a very bright star. That's the star Vega, and Vega is one of the brightest stars in the sky. So. You kind of can't miss it. So
On, everybody, hold on, because we're going to do this some more.
Well, one thing I want to give you a sense of is how many meteors to expect.
Well, hold on a second. We'll do that when we come back. Hold on.
You got it.
That's a good tease. That's a very good setup. Michelle Nichols from the Adler Planetarium will do more on what has been observed for 2,700 years when we come back on 720 WGN. Discussing celestial activities with Michelle Nichols from the Adler Planetarium. And we're discussing the Lyrid meteor shower?
That's correct.
Okay, which has been observed for I can't get over it. Can you tell? I can't get over the fact that people have been keeping. You know, I can't even keep track of what I did last week. These people are keeping track of something for 2,700 years. My gosh! Name something
shows
else.
Shows you how important the sky was, right?
Boy, isn't that the boy? That is an understatement, considering. Okay, so. You were going to comment on, I believe, how many meteors?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yep.
Okay.
So if anybody missed it, tomorrow night into Thursday morning, preferably Thursday morning, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, go outside, face east, look up. Look for quick streaks of light in the sky. The darker your sky, the better. And this is a medium strength meteor shower, meaning you're probably going to see maybe up to, in a really dark sky, 15 meteors an hour. But they'll come sporadically. So you might see a couple, and then maybe none for 10 minutes. And you might see one, two, three, and then none for 5 minutes. I mean, they aren't constant. So not like your shower in your bathroom where the water comes out constantly. these kind of spit. A little bit. So, but if you're under a light polluted sky, many fewer than 15. Yeah. So you'll be lucky to see one or two.
Okay. So I was reading something in an article, and they quote the American Meteor Society saying that the Lyrids, and this is a quote, usually lack persistent trains, but can produce fireballs. What does that mean?
So meteors can when they streak across the sky, sometimes that trail that they leave can be kind of extended, and just persistent just means you can see it for a while, as opposed to a quick streak that it's just there and it just disappears. These don't tend to have persistence where you might see it for a second or two or something like that. These are quick ones, but a fireball is a brighter meteor. So it's a slightly bigger bit of the comet, maybe the size of a pea, or something. 'Cause most of the time we're talking about something the size of a grain of sand, and
really,
or smaller.
That's
these are tiny. That's it.
And we're able to see that? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Yep. Yep.
We're
going to
be looking.
How?
Hold on a second. With the naked eye, we're looking up in the sky and we're seeing a speck go by?
Yep. Yes. So what you're seeing is this speck traveling at, and I don't know the speed of the of a typical Lyrid meteor, but it's in the tens of thousands of miles an hour. And just like when you rub your hands together, you feel heat caused by friction. Rub your hands together at like 20,000 miles an hour. You're going to glow. And so the air, well, your hands will anyway. It'll be bad.
Right.
The air around this bit gets so hot from this thing traveling so fast through the air that the air around it glows. And so that's what a meteor is. You're not seeing the bit because it's 60 miles above your head. You're seeing the glowing hot air around it.
Got it. You know, Hollywood, the movies, it's always a meteor is headed towards Earth. It's going to destroy everything. We got to send Bruce Willis up there with a crew and put a nuclear device in the middle of this big old meteor and try to divert it. But what you're saying is, now hold on a second. You're saying that these meteors are just a speck.
Yeah, yeah. The comet that it came from is probably, and I'm going to generalize for just comets in general. Comets are generally about a quarter of a mile wide to maybe 6-10 miles wide. The biggest ones are 20-30 miles wide. These are not big things. And so the bits that come off are going to be just little dust grains, essentially. But asteroids can be much bigger than that. So
Maybe it was an asteroid headed towards Earth.
Well, either way, if it's big enough, then
I gotta go watch Armageddon again. Can you take it? Would a cell phone camera work in taking a picture of this?
It would take a little doing to try. I've never done it with a cell phone. I've done it with a DSLR. You have to leave the shutter open on the camera for maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 seconds at a time.
There are
apps. Yeah, you have to keep it really still. So putting it on a little tripod or stacking it up against a book or something. But there are camera apps that you can get that you can adjust the shutter speed on your cell phone to be able to do this. So Camera Plus, Camera FV5, there's a few of them out there. I've never tried it with a cell phone. I can't imagine. You probably need more resolution, and so probably a DSLR would be better. But just to give you a sense of how hard it is to actually take a picture of a meteor, last year for the Perseid meteor shower, I was up for 2 hours. I set the DSLR to take pictures, 5-second pictures, one right after the other. I took 1,000 pictures looking in the same part of the sky. I got one meteor.
Wow.
Luckily, I just had to sit there and make sure the camera battery didn't run out. But because it would just keep going until I told it to stop. Unpressed the button.
You know, you mentioned the apps and cell phones, which is what they're still called, although the phone part is really the smallest attraction. In fact, I had, because of a mix-up with upgrading my iPhone, I used a flip phone for a couple of days. And the quality of the phone, talking to people on the phone, was fine. You know, it sounded great. And I'd ask somebody, hey, how does this sound? I'm talking on a flip phone. They didn't know. It sounds great.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so
go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's just that they haven't advanced the phone part ever. It's all what you're talking about.
Right. Well, just to give your listeners a sense of a little behind the scenes, a lot of times when I call into radio stations, they'll say, oh, you're calling on a cell. Can you call on a landline? Because it sounds better.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, it's still the landline phones sound way better than the cell. I happen to be talking to on a cell, but it's a secondary, tertiary, way down on the list. I mean, I actually talked to someone.
I had the options of using the camera. Do I want to have 24? I mean, it was more the resolution that you're talking about is getting very, very more resolution as each new phone comes out, just about.
iPhone 11 actually has features. I believe the 11 has features built in that it kind of does. It can do some of these night sky photography things already. And it has pretty good resolution as well. So I don't know about Android. I just have an iPhone. So
yeah, me too.
Give it a try. I mean, the worst thing you can do is take some pictures of the night sky. You might not get a meteor. Oh, darn.
Well, thank you so much for being with us, Michelle, and we'll be looking skyward. I really appreciate it. Michelle Nichols from the Adler Planetarium. Wow, sounds like fun, huh? 2,700 years. Man.